It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome once again to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies and beyond.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. What's the story, lads? Podcast number 8, coming at you live from Two Johnnies HQ in Care.
Woo!
On this week's podcast, we are talking housemates. How do you live harmoniously with lads and ladies who are used to mammy tidying up after them? You want to be cutting off the apron strings quick on that one.
We'll also be discussing our sporting heroes.
Producer Maura will once again be grilling us with her mystery topic. And
sound for that, Maura. Local leather jacket wearing news hound GAA fundamentalist Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
And we'll round up the podcast with our yurts and dirts as usual. Before commencing with proceedings, Johnny, any matters arising from last week's podcast?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, matters arising from last week's committee meeting on the topic of public nudity. One lady snapped us in saying, "Maura, you obviously haven't been in many dressing rooms." She said this one's a bit like Smacks. She was brought up to the senior county for the first time, right? And it was her first time being in a dressing room with all adults. Her favourite player of all time is in the dressing room. She rocks up to me and talks to me with nothing on her. Absolutely starstruck. Couldn't enjoy the moment. She's probably staring at her baps.
A dairy farmer in Cork got in touch and said, "Lads, any chance you can make the podcast 20 minutes longer? It finishes up just as I've one row of cows left to milk. Heartbreaking stuff. I end up having to listen to Nathan Carter for the last row of cows. God help the fucking cows listening to that.
He'll turn the milk sour."
Sour cream, now available in Cork.
Champagne Paddy messages in saying, "How are you, lads? Just moved to Vancouver in January and listened to the podcast Savage Little Taste of Home. Keep up the good work." And he reckons Noel should have his own podcast. But at the same time, he understands that Noel is lucky to get any airtime at all, considering the filth he comes out with.
And Rachel in London dropped us a DM. Oi, oi.
Oi, oi.
Slipped into the DMs.
We've been rumbled.
Oi, oi. Just to let us know that there's two locations in London, lads, where you get a chicken fillet roll and a breakfast roll. One is Hometown Rolls in Tooting. That's where Jimmy White, actually, the snooker player, is from. And the other place is an Italian cafe in Soho called Bar Bruno.
Can I just step in there and, like, an Italian cafe in Soho is
selling breakfast rolls.
Yeah.
Come on, lads.
Rachel, like, you know what I mean?
You know,
give me an old stat aisle any day.
There's definitely fellas. There's definitely fellas with mustaches and top hats eating breakfast rolls in that gaff as well, I'd say. Stay away from that place. Right, our weekly roundup. What's going on, Johnny, this week in the world of the Two Johnnies?
What have we been up to, lads? Friday night, we were in the Midlands Park Hotel in Portlaoise.
Portlaoise! Jesus Christ, Portlaoise!
Portlaoise, and we did our comedy show, the Big Show, Small Show tour, and it was in conjunction with the Laois Mhacra. Thanks to Mill for having us. Some crack.
Brilliant. Loads of clad shirts and brown shoes, by. There was an avalanche of them.
I know it's probably cliche to say at this stage, but the Camross boys are rough.
I went to school with them and I thought they were rough, but when they actually grow up to be normal adults, well, adults anyway, they're
fully grown men.
Rough as a badger's arse, but they're
lovely.
They're great crack.
Lovely people, the finest of people.
The finest of people, but. And there was a strange thing, like, we got a photo with this real tall farmer from the other night, and he just thought it was appropriate to punch us in the kidneys.
Yeah.
Go on, you gas men. Jab into the kidney. I was like, lad, take it handy there, will ya?
Hands made of leather.
Yeah.
That man's been out fighting sheep all day.
Also this week, lads, you'd be delighted to know I booked a holiday. I'm going on holidays in 2 weeks' time.
Well, what part of Lanzarote are you going to?
I actually went further afield. Tenerife.
Oh,
so I'm off for a week. And also this week, I've been having a lot of trouble, to be honest. It's probably ruined what was remaining of my weekend after the gig. And this song is stuck in my head, right? And the people of the podcast might be able to help me out. So this song may or may not be a part of my imagination. But, right, it sounds like this. So if anybody knows, use hashtag the Two Johnnies Pod. Get in touch with me personally, even, please. I literally give you my house phone number at this stage to ring me and let me know. So the song goes like this. Na 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 na. So if anybody knows what that song is.
And you reckon, like, this gets played at weddings?
I reckon so, and it has a Latin kind of feel to it, right? And, like, it, or maybe a swing song. or maybe Barney sang it. I don't know, like, but it stuck in my head. And I rang Joe, who produces all our music. And I rang him and I was like, listen, Joe, this song stuck in my head. And like, as I was humming it down the phone to him, I was thinking, God, there's something, like, I'm unstable. And Joe just said, no, don't know the song, Johnny, but write it down. You never know. The two Johnnies might do a Spanish album. Hey, your man Joe, bye, if you're listening.
But and in other news, I have been doing a voiceover for a travel app. It's very good. That's part of the reason I was down in Kerry. And a mate of mine, it's called Waymark Trails, and not getting paid to say that right now. It's just a class app. So he's definitely going to have to take me out for pints during the week. So yeah, you walk around and you see all these points of interest. Like, so you see something cool and then my voice will come up going like, you know, in the 15th century, like, and tell you what the crack is. But there was one little story.
You should have voiced it as Noel Furlong.
Here we are in Wicklow, another kip. So one little story caught my eye, and I'm just going to quickly give you the gist of it. So actually in Kerry, in the Second World War, there was a heap of airplanes crashed. That's a fact now, okay? God, I'm slipping into Noel, I can't help it.
That's a fact now.
That's right. So anyway, so Ireland's first wartime visitor was a German Luftwaffe Focke-Wulf 200 Condor. That's a fact, right? So the Condor had a crew of six and it left Bordeaux on the 20th of August 1940 and it was tipping around West Cork doing weather reconnaissance. Like, what were the Nazis at? Sending planes to West Cork, like, in the middle of World War II. Anyway, so they were having a bit of trouble. It was wicked fog and they decided they were going to ditch at sea rather than land in Ireland. I mean, you know.
Probably right.
Probably right, yeah. So anyway, Captain Kirk Monelhauer, he decided this, right? But they crashed into Mount Brandon. The fog came out of nowhere and just at the last minute he tried to pull up. Now they survived. They kind of crash landed but they bobbled along on the big belly. Some of them were injured and nobody died, no? And they carried the boys down the mountain. And when they got down off Mount Brandon, they came to O'Connor's farm. And Miss O'Connor came out and she handed the Germans a jug of milk and said, "Sláinte." How are the lads? But she also got onto the guards. So a detachment from the Irish Army arrived out and escorted the three injured lad to St. Catherine's Hospital in Tralee, and then the others were taken to Collins Barracks in Cork. So the boys on Collins Barracks in Cork were like, you know, we need to be dealing with shoplifters and all. We're not expecting the German Air Force. So they rang the head barracks in Dublin up in Phoenix Park and they were like, what will we do with the boys? And the question they actually asked them was, will I hold on to him or will I shoot him? Yeah. So the lad on the phone in Dublin is like, hang on there, I'll ask me boss. And so this voice comes on the phone and says, hold on to him. And it was actually Eamon de Valera. He got involved and he was like, do not shoot the German soldiers.
Oh, Jesus.
So the boys were in Tralee Hospital and they said they were very well treated. And they were detained there for 6 weeks. And each night they were given a bottle of Guinness to help them sleep.
Medicine.
Yeah. So they had the dubious honour of being the first ever detainees in the Curra camp in Kildare. Oh, and they were allowed out every day. They could sign themselves out in the morning as long as they were back, sign themselves back in that night.
Yeah.
And they were allowed to go to dances and they were allowed to go visit the German embassy. And one of them actually attended Trinity College and they could go to hurling and football matches and all. They became big fans at a GAA. They were known as guests of the state. And they liked it so much that the Captain Monelhauer and another lad met their wives and actually stayed in Ireland.
Oh my God.
There you go. And Kirk, the captain, only died in 2004. And recently, all of their descendants and all met up again on that spot in Mount Brandon and went to visit it.
That's Johnny B's news.
That's a little anecdote. That's what I've been up to this week.
So Johnny's been up to this week. In the week coming, if anybody didn't see it actually on our Instagram, we've been doing little videos now on our Instagram and they're going to become the norm. We'll be doing a little bit extra on Instagram rather than Facebook, so make sure and follow us at The Two Johnnies. Farmers Tom and Jory took a look at Stetsons and Stilettos this week on Instagram.
And we'd like to apologise if anybody's been insulted.
If anybody from Cavan especially.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone in Cavan has been insulted by the video, but we've already done our show on Cavan, so we don't have to go back for another year.
Back for another year, so it's great.
It'll all have blown over.
Right, the week ahead, John, what's coming up?
We're heading down to what the foot, boy? Down to the Daisha.
Go on, boy.
Go on, boy.
I love me county.
We're going loving the county of Waterford on Good Friday out in the Woodlands Hotel.
Yeah.
So come
Friday,
on down.
Friday the 13th. Anything could happen. Yep. The people of Waterford are my life. So we'll be there Friday night. And Saturday night, we are in...
Wexford.
Yay. Back to Wexford. Bye.
They love us
in Wexford. Swear to God, we're like Nathan Carter to country heads. That's exactly what we are.
We are like curry to a piss head. The Wexford lads just eat us up. They love us. We love Wexford lads.
Yeah, so we'll be in Islegate Saturday night. That's sold out, is it?
Saturday is sold out. There's a few tickets left for Waterford.
Lovely stuff. Okay. Topic number one, housemates. A couple of weeks ago, we did a sketch called Bad Housemates, right? And we thought we'd trash it out and discuss how not to be an absolute dose of a housemate. Johnny, housemates.
Yeah, myself and Smacks actually lived together for a good while, a couple of years. And honest to God, I'm not just saying that now because he's staring at me. Probably the best housemate I ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Johnny, of course, a bit of a neat freak. Has a background in food hygiene.
That is true, yeah.
Sterilizing things. So he was great. He was a great housemate. The one thing that shocked me that I most remember is before a night out. Yeah, he's cringing now.
Yeah,
you're getting it now.
Go on.
He'd have his selection of outfits, lined out in the bed. What'll I wear? What kind of a night is it like? And he'd be talking, the other lad we lived with, Chalk Ice. We'd be asking Chalk Ice, what are you wearing like? And the boys be like, you know, matching and like, what kind of a night, like, are we wearing shirts? Are we going out or are we not like? So he'd have all the gear lined out and he'd be having a few pre-drinks.
Prinks. Nothing's changed, Johnny.
Because if we're going out at 9, I start getting ready at 5 to 9. Like.
Yeah, and I'd be getting ready at like 5 to 9 that morning.
Yeah.
I used to come home on a Friday when I lived with Johnny and the Chalk Ice be there. And as soon as I closed the front door, he'd play Crocodile Rock by Elton John. And we'd dance around the kitchen. La 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 la. 4 o'clock in the day, like, jeez. I say it like, and poor Johnny was working. Simply Chalk Ice were dancing around the sitting room. But yeah, I lived with Johnny and it was grand. He was a lovely housemate. The weddings were very busy at that time, like when Johnny was in the wedding band. So he was very rarely around weekends. So me and the Chalkies made sure to go out for him, you know, while Johnny couldn't. But we had a few sessions. We'd be back singing The Saw Doctors at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It was a running joke. Like, I'd come in from playing a gig and it could be 2 or 3 in the morning. And I'd like sneak in, have a cup of tea, and I'd sneak up to bed not to wake the boys. And I'd be just drifting off, and the boys would come in the door. We did it. Our drummer happened to him once. His car broke down, and I was like, "You can stay with me, like, no bother." So it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We kind of whispered in, and he went to sleep on the couch. And I'd say I only closed the door on my bedroom, and all the boys poured in. Like,
oh no!
Fanta is his name. He didn't get a wink of sleep.
Oh, boys sitting on top of him on the couch.
You see, he's got red hair, yeah. And he wanted us to call him Red Bull. So we call him Fanta.
He came to compromise. But we've had a variety of housemates. When I first moved to college now, I moved in with, there was actually a fella from Leash. And he was a nice fella. But he fell out with one of the other housemates. So to prove a point, he went away home for the weekend and left his radiator on all weekend, the storage heater. Just to be a...
How does that... like affect anyone else? Barrier the electricity bill.
The electricity bill is sky high, like, and like the heat is just coming out through the lock on his door. You can feel it pouring out, but you can't go in to turn it off. Like,
Jesus.
And he was, and we lived with a lad from Wexford, and he had us fully convinced he was a Muay Thai fighter. But any man who eats Mai bacon
Thai.
Grills,
Mai
any
Thai.
Man, yeah, Mai Thai, is it?
Yeah,
whatever. I don't know.
He was doing it wrong.
Ask McGregor. But any fella who eats bacon grills 4 times a day is not a proper fighter to me. And I lived with one of my friends from home, and don't mind, I'm not going to name him, but he used to have, this is where the Weetabix thing came from. So he was bulking, like, he was mad into the gym, and he'd eat Weetabix like 6 times a day just for calories. And he used to not wash the bowls up, and I'd be like, hey, wash up that bowl quick, like, because if you leave that Weetabix in it now, it'll set, it'd be like cement. I went into his bedroom then one day to get something off him, and opened up his wardrobe, and there were 6 bowls in there from like 6 months ago. Rock solid. The man was hiding bowls rather than washing. So he was definitely one of the bad housemates. Have you any bad housemates, John?
Well, when we were living together, one more thing, we had a pool.
Oh, that was class.
Well, we had
a kitty.
A kitty for rent and building that. And yeah. We had, must, like, come summertime, we had probably like 200 quid left over. So we took that.
It was more that pool. Was more than that.
We had to top it up, and we got like a 10-foot pool out of Argos or somewhere like.
It's 5 foot deep.
Ah. There was probably about 3.5-4 foot of water. So we could dive into it, and you could do WWF moves and all that. And Chalk Ice and his twin brother actually came home with replica belts.
They went in to buy tools. The two of them are tradesmen. One's a carpenter, one's an electrician. They went in to buy tools right in Clonmel, and they came home with two wrestling belts.
And they
24 years of age.
They hung them up inside the front door of the house where everyone could see, and he said, "We want people to know this is a house of champions." And I still have those photos. I'll put them up on the Instagram of Chalk Ice and Scarf and all the boys doing wrestling moves
in the swimming pool.
In the swimming pool.
Some crack. The whole football team used to come after training, and then like we'd do the recovery in the swimming pool. Great life.
They'd just be like, yeah, there'd be 10 or 12 lads just crammed into the pool. Like.
There was no woman has ever been in the pool.
That's true.
There's never a woman in the pool.
Not that we didn't invite everyone back to our hot tub, you know.
Come back to our hot tub. It's frozen solid.
It took about 24 hours to fill anyway.
Yeah. Filling it was torture.
With a hose going from the neighbour's gaff, and then we'd be bucketing water from the bath down to...
But it was a proper pool. It had a filter and all.
And then when you were working in the... You worked in a clothes shop for a while.
Yeah.
And our lunches would match. Or sometimes you wouldn't be gone and you'd be doing the evening shift.
Yeah.
And we'd all watch Home and Away together at lunchtime.
Yeah.
We were fair into it. There was a time there.
Into the Braxtons.
Do you remember the time Charlie died then?
Yeah.
Oh, we watched
fair
it.
Sad.
We came home one night, we were langers, and we watched it. And Brax is there talking to Charlie's gravestone. I was in bits.
Yeah. I was nearly going to get a blood and sand tattoo. I swear to God.
What were they called? The
River Boys.
The River Boys. Yeah.
There you go, mate.
And from you actually Johnny's. Met your man at Home and Away then?
I met Heat, yeah. I was working in Iceland.
Not the country.
I used to say that, like, someone's like, "Where do you work?" I'd be like, "Iceland." But God, what do you be doing out in Iceland? I'd be like, no.
Stack your shelves.
The food chain. And I was working there, and he was doing an appearance in like the shopping centre. And I just went out when it was over and just got a picture taken with him. He's fair short.
Really?
He's not that big either. Like, he looks fucking huge on the television, big muscly lad, but he's actually quite small.
You'd take him, would you?
A bathroom, lad. Bathroom. But you're bad housemates, John. Give me your bad ones. You've blown enough smoke up my arse now.
Well, I lived with one lad who used to hit the drink. There's no two ways around it. And in the funniest way, because he was self-employed, and he would just go on an awful lash maybe for 3 days. And then you wouldn't see him, like. And he'd come home then, and he'd be in the absolute horrors. And when he'd sober up, the funniest thing, he'd get this mad notion for cleaning. And he'd be just coming around, and he'd be feeling bad about himself and about life. And he'd put on the Katie Tungstall album, and he'd clean the whole house.
That's therapy.
Head top to bottom. House would be shining.
Yeah.
Swear to God. And there was no excuse for it. And another habit of his then, that was when I lived in a housing estate. You know those things, a morph suit? It's like a pair of tights, but they go all over your face and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a morph suit. He had a black one of those, and he used to go around knick-knacking people's houses at night time. And one time, this Polish lad gave him a root up the hole. He kicked him in the bollocks so hard, he actually vomited. And he came home then, and he was like, "How did he do it? He kicks the night. He kicks pure darkness. How did he do it?"
I don't think I've had any really bad housemates as such. I used to live with lads who smoked. That was fucking... That was torture, like... I hate that. I hate smoking.
One thing about people who smoke in a gaff is, it's like it's winter and you have the heating on, and they're like, "Oh, I'll be nice. I'll smoke out the window." So they sit out the window with the window open,
yeah,
leaving all the heat out.
Minus 12 outside.
Oh, it's the height of rudeness.
Yeah, so that's why I live alone.
we were moving out of a house, and there was a... You know, you split the bills, like.
Yeah.
So whatever, the ESB was in my name and the bins were in the other lad's name, and... Like, the bins weren't being collected at the end, and I was like, "What's the crack here, lad? I know we're moving out soon." Like, so he said he filled the recycling bin up to the max now, up to the max, a big wheelie bin, like. He screwed it closed with a few spack screws, and he went into the recycling centre in Clonmel and threw it into the items marked bulky items.
A whole wheelie bin.
You
lived to one housemate, Johnny, who has red sauce with... everything. He's the only man I've seen to have chicken curry over Chinese and put red sauce on it. I kid you not.
His snack would be a can of Lucozade, and he'd get crackers and red sauce.
Cream crackers.
Yeah.
And red sauce.
What do you mean, like?
Sweet granddad. Throws all the red sauce there. The whole tube, like.
Red sauce is granddad.
Red sauce
is
granddad. It's not that bad. It's only tomatoes, like.
What do you mean, like?
Not that bad for you.
And one night, he's massive. Him and his cousin, another huge lad, in the gaff. Our host. Big men, now. Animals, right? And they were downstairs, and I could hear them partying. I was trying to sleep. And one lad was like, oh, you're on the old schnockta, boys. Hey, you're on the old schnockta. And I was like, oh, my God. Are the boys taking cocaine? Like, these are the two biggest, craziest men I know. To picture them on mind-altering drugs would be the worst-case scenario I could imagine in my house. I went down the next morning. Weren't they after finding a protein shake and just scattering the
protein powder.
Scattering the powder all over the kitchen.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Have you ever had a cleaning rota, Johnny, in any of the houses you lived in? They're for freaks.
Yeah. I had a cooking rota, all right.
Yeah?
So, like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we take turns cooking. Mm. But one of the boys always cooked pasta bake.
Yeah.
Same thing every week. Ah, 6 months of that, Mara.
It's a bit much.
Do you know?
Like, I'm a creature of habit, but that's even too far for me now. To be honest, like, when I moved out of home, the massive thing I missed was my mother doing me washing.
Mm.
Washing, you're ironing your own clothes is misery. I have a friend who loves ironing. I'd ring him and be like, I have a night off there. We go away for the night. We go away somewhere. We'll go out. Be great. He'd be like, don't know. I have a load of ironing to do.
He's having you on.
I swear. No, that's like
he's having you on.
That's like an excuse a girl to give you. I have to wash my hair. I have a load of ironing to do. I swear to God. We go to a hotel then and he'd be like, I'd be like, come on, so we get dressed there and go out. And he'd be like, I must iron these pants. And he'd be there ironing the pants. I swear to God.
Well, you've cancelled on me over washing your hair.
I was probably styling, Johnny. I was probably styling.
No, at the start, like, you're living with lunatics. Like, I lived in a place where I'm fairly sure the boys burnt all the furniture in the fire, like.
Stuff was just disappearing, Johnny, was
yeah.
it?
Do you know?
That's unreal. To be honest, like, if I could give anyone advice, if you're moving out home, normally the first time you move out home, and for me anyway, it was college.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah. I would say to anyone, go to college, make sure and move in with a few girls.
Really?
Yes. They'll just keep you on the straight and narrow, provided they're nice girls. Some out there that aren't. But they'll do a bit. They'll, like, normally the girls go, go on, I'm cooking there. Do you want something, like? Mm. It's grand. You never have to cook in college.
More like, can you get in the ring here? Because I wouldn't go along with the perception that girls are cleaner than lads.
I wouldn't say they're cleaner, but they'd look after you a bit more, I'd say.
Maura?
I think girls would only look after you if they did a notion of you. So.
That's what it was all this time.
Every girl you lived with, Johnny.
No, like, guys are generally grand to live with.
Have you had any bad experiences now?
No, I can think of one experience where, like, there was this guy that he... like, if he's going to the toilet, like, standing up, let's say, you know what I'm saying, right? He wouldn't bother closing the door and you'd just be walking by and be like, right, that's okay.
Oh, Maura.
Yeah.
If you lived
could
in
you just close the fucking door, like, you know?
I've lived in a house where the toilet, if you left the door open on the toilet, you could still see into the sitting room. So, like, I'd be sitting down doing a number two, like, and I'd be watching EastEnders. It was grand and handy. I'm chatting away to the chalk eyes. I'm just going... Will you turn off that oven?
Please stop.
Thanks for reenacting that, Max.
No bother, lads. And if anybody can see my facial expression, I went red in the face and all doing that. But anything else in housemates, Johnny? Have you ever had any aggressive or anything that bugged you about housemates?
Most housemates are grand.
Mm.
Like, if you're living with lads, I lived with one lad and we were moving out and the oven was stink and they were like, I've cleaned the oven, lads. And I said to him, lad, I'm after spending €6 on the Euro Millions now tickets, right? If you clean the oven and I win the Euro Millions, I'll give you half. And he did it. And when I was living with ye, when yourself and the Chalk Ice moved out, I was in the gaff of my own for a while, right? Mm. And then it had been about 3 months, I'd say, at this stage. And we were down hurling training. And there was a big game on, like Barcelona were playing United or someone. And all the boys were talking about it at training. And I said, God, I'll go home and just see how the soccer is going. Because I wouldn't have a massive interest now. And I turned on the telly. And I was just getting the blue screen. And I looked for the skybox. And the skybox was gone. The boys had taken it with them. And I hadn't turned on the telly in 3 months.
Oh my God.
He hadn't watched television in 3 months. I lived with a fella. I'm definitely not going to name him. But to say he was loud now in the bedroom was an understatement. Now, he didn't often get it. But Christ, when he did. So one night he brought this girl home. They're hammering away. They're like a fella on a, he's like a fella on a Kango hammer. And it's relentless. 1 hour. 2 hours. 3 hours. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm in the bed. I've thrown 6 runners at the wall. No use. He's still going. 6 hours of that now. I actually got out of bed, I had a red Golf at the time. I drove to Cashel, went to the 24 hour, got a breakfast roll, sat down, ate it there, came home, and he was just finishing up. I'd say that young one.
Is that girl still alive?
I'm not too sure. She could still be in that room.
But that man, he had an awful dry spell.
He did. He went through a barren spell.
I'd say he did.
So he said to me, like, listen, when you get a bird back, you don't know when you'll get it again. So
he hadn't got it in a year, I'd say.
Christ, he went hammer and tongs at. Relentless.
One of my housemates on a similar van had like a big steel bed. And so he could hear this ting, ting, ting on the wall. Now, he had a girlfriend at the time, and she was working all kinds of mad hours. Mm. And we'd be watching telly, and it could be like 11 o'clock at night now, and she'd come in, and she'd be wrecked. And I'd be thinking, like, you know, that's it. Like, there'd be no ting-ting tonight now, like. And after
you were a good man for the ting-ting yourself, Johnny.
So she'd come in, and after about 5 minutes, like, I'd look over, and she'd be asleep on the couch, like. She'd be wrecked from work, and I'd be, oh, we're grand tonight, like. And I'd go to bed, and he'd be like, come on, we go to bed. And I was just putting head down the pillow and ting, ting, ting. And she had a wail on her like a banshee. I saw.
Ting, Christ.
Ting. It was like a neighbor's smoke alarm going off.
Did you ever get too old to house share, John?
I suppose you do.
I couldn't live with lads now.
I know.
I'm past it, like. Just caught and I.
Well, a mate of mine actually just moved in with his girlfriend. He was telling me last night. And he's been living on his own for ages, like, and she moved in with him. And I was like, well, how's that going? And he's like, it's grand, because they're both musicians and they'd be all mad hours. And he said he had a gig Good Friday. And then he just went out in the lash for like 48 hours solid, like all Saturday night, stayed at one of the boys, and all Sunday and Sunday night. And then it occurred.
Done a Jesus on it. Went away a Good Friday, didn't come back till Monday.
Came up Monday smelling of roses then. And it occurred to him Sunday night, he was like, should I have sent a text saying,
she's at home with a bolognese on the hob.
He's like, should I be saying, explaining where I am now? And because he wouldn't be in the habit of it, like, he's lived on his own for years. And then he didn't anyway. And then he said it to her on Monday, like, should I, like, explain where I am and all that? And she was like, no, you're grand. So he was saying to us, like, he reckons it's all grand. But at the same time, he reckons she's secretly just coming to the boil now and is going to poke the head off in one of these days, like. But that's a change, because I lived with a girlfriend for a while, and it's grand, like. I mean, she's not going to break her balls if you're like, hey, we'll do the old dinner tonight, will you, like, you know?
Do a bit of hoovering there, will ya?
Yeah, it was grand.
I never really, just touching on like housemates like that, I never really had a really bad housemate, but we used to have a fellow who kind of just lived on the couch 4 days of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'd come in on a Thursday and be like, oh, will we go for a couple of pints? And then like Sunday, he's like, I'm throwing on a cup of tea there anyway. And I'm like, jeez, have you been here all this time? And, you know, if one of the lads were gone away for the weekend, he'd stay in their room.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he never paid rent. And he was a good man with the chicas. Good man. One night I was inside spooning in my bed, and he came in. He's hairy, hasn't a sock on him, comes into the room. There's nothing. It's just like a 6'4" body hair. He comes in and is like, Smacks, you don't have a condom, do you? And he's standing there, not a sock on him. This your three eyes looking at me. Think about it. That was probably my worst experience. That was when I knew I need to move out and start afresh for me. But just to finish up on that topic, Johnny.
On that bombshell.
On that absolute bombshell. This podcast has taken a cynical turn. A cynical turn.
Well, just when I was living with lads, we had a good technique in that we made Paul, I lived with him, and he had a great pair of lungs on him. We were in a band together. So we would do the shout test. Mm. We lived in a detached house, and he'd go into the kitchen and just shout, and I'll walk around and see if I can hear you. Yeah. And then like go into the living room and see you just shout. And so we'd find the room in the house that would least affect the neighbours.
Yeah.
And that's the room that we party in then.
Okay. I like it.
Everybody stay in the kitchen. That's the best insulated room.
How do you get rid of a bad housemate, John?
It's very hard.
It's impossible. It's impossible. I'd buy fish, mackerel, preferably, and just hide it in the room and stink them out.
Don't let it. A mate of mine did that to another lad in, they were in college, and he sliced open his mattress and put in raw chicken. Your man got really sick. Yeah, negative waves.
Negative waves, man. But Maura, have you ever had to try and get rid of a bad housemate or anything?
I'd say Maura do it straight.
Maura, you just definitely go down and say, listen, get out.
Pull the band-aid off.
Pack your shit and get out.
Yeah, I'd say it to somebody if they're annoying me, like I'd say it straight out, like. And
I wouldn't.
She does.
I'd dance around it. I'd stop answering their calls and I wouldn't look them in the eye and stuff.
I do know that before a house that I moved into in Dublin before I moved in, the housemate that I was replacing, they'd gotten rid of the girl by pretending that the landlord had said, "Yous all have to move out." So they all had gotten their stuff packed up, like, and like told the girl to move out. So she moved out, and then they just unpacked all their stuff again and put the room up and daft. So.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh. Yeah. To conclude, lads.
That's it.
How would you be a good housemate? Be clean, I would say.
Yeah.
Treat people as you would like to be treated. Don't be a sap. And don't be playing death metal at 4 o'clock in the morning, right?
Well, I have one little anecdote that I can probably...
Oh, God.
Go on, we've gone this far.
Go on.
So I lived with a lad and he was a great man on the razzle dazzle. When he got going on the beard, there was no stopping him now. And one night I came downstairs and he had the lawnmower going inside in the kitchen. A diesel lawnmower.
What?
And I was like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just trimming back the old tiles. They were gone a bit wild." And he turned the lawnmower up on its side and he got the bag out of the rubbish bin, the recycling, and he tied it up and he just fired it into the blades of the lawnmower. Psh,
went, chopped it up.
Chopped it up everywhere, like confetti. Now, he cleaned it up the next day, you know, he came around and he had a lad with him and your little man was after spilling something on his jacket. He had like a zippy Adidas silky jacket. So he put it into the dishwasher and turned on the dishwasher to wash his jacket.
Oh my God.
But the landlord came around and he's like, "Lads, the neighbours were saying, like, you didn't have a chainsaw or something going in the house, did you?" And your man... bold as brass, he's nudging me and he's going, "That's only Johnny B and his old heavy metal music." Old boom boom music.
On that bombshell, lads, don't be playing boom boom music. That's us and housemates. We hope that's helped. And if you're, please do get in touch with us using hashtag 2JohnnysPod, or you can reach us on Snapchat at Johnny B Tipman, Johnny Smacks, or on the Instagram as well. Get in touch with us, give us your bad housemate story and we might tell them on the podcast next week. That's housemates. Right, it's your favourite time of the week, lads. If you are operating heavy machinery, I suggest you stop immediately. Pull over if you're on the motorway, lads. This should come with a health warning. Everyone's favourite leather jacket wearing, major smoking, hurling fundamentalist is Mr. Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News!
Noel's News! Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, it's great to have you here. I'm slightly seedy. I was out last night, but this is going to be surely a tonic for me, is it?
Drinking Scotter again, you are.
I was drinking Coors Light.
Yeah. Fucking Protestant drink.
Right, Noel. Hit us up.
Now, when are you going to sort out that intro music?
I'll work on it.
Think you're fucking Imelda May or something, yeah.
What would you like? Maybe some Jimmy Buckley or something?
Jimmy Buckley, no, a professional.
A real man.
A gentleman.
Right, Noel, hit us with your news. What have you got for us this week?
Okay. We're going to Australia.
Lovely.
Shut up. Right. Do you know the actor, Russell Crowe?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting divorced. Right? Very interesting. And he's having a big divorce auction. He's selling off all his stuff. That's a fact. Now, he got married to this one, Danielle Spencer. She used to be in Home and Away. And they got separated 6 years ago. And he's only moving the stuff now.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It is like when Cameron asked me to put up a shelf in the scullery. He said he'd give her time to cool down before he came back and got his stuff. I reckon in 6 years, she'd be fairly cool. Now, he have... So, they have all his gear from Gladiator. Remember that film he was in, Gladiator?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he have a Roman chariot, armour, and two life-size prop horses. Now, I don't know what kind of fucking ape is going to buy two life-size prop horses. And you're just going to put them at the piers of the house. Up at the front gates of the house.
But, horses' heads on the piers.
No, they're full-size horses.
Christ.
They're in the movie. They're in the film. That's a fact. Now, I liked that movie, Gladiator, because I kind of... It struck a chord with me. It reminded me of myself when I was hurling. That's what they used to call me when I was centre back, the Gladiator. I crippled more men than arthritis. 19 years I was in the Colosseum. Russell Crowe thought he was tough because he conquered the barbarian tribes of Germany. He never had to hurl against Camaros. They're fucking savages. You put them in the Colosseum, huh? If you lose to them, they actually feed you to the lions.
There's lions in Camaros.
Yeah, Tommy lions, breed of lions. Eating their children. So they've all the gear. Did you ever see that film Master and Commander?
No.
Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah, it's the one with the ships.
Yeah, more have a bit of culture.
Unlike me.
Well, you're at home fucking pulling yourself. Right? It's a film about a load of tans on a boat. A load of pricks and they go off on a boat and Russell Crowe plays the head prick. So in the film, the English Navy, they're fighting a French boat around South Africa. Huh? They made a film about that. And they fucking cancelled Glenroe. South America, right? So fucking tans looking for a fight all over the world. And you can buy that suit, you can buy that outfit that he wears in the film in case you want to go home and dress up like a prick. And he bought 30 guitars. He had a big collection of guitars. And he's selling the 30 guitars now because he's not able to play any of them. He had a band on the go, Russell Crowe. Do you know that?
I've seen him actually. They were they done the Late Late.
Yeah.
Were shite.
Well, I think he got the band on the go. He was playing pubs trying to make a bit of cash during the divorce.
Oh my God.
A bit of walking around money. So they said that this is going to get $2.3 million, which is some twine for acting the fool. That's what he's going to make out of the auction. $2.3 million. I don't know how much of that the wife gets, but
half.
You know women. Now, my second gripe of the week, I'm off to Iran.
Oh no.
Another shower of pricks. They're big fans of the Italian soccer. Now there was a match during the week. Barcelona were playing Roma in the soccer, right? And the viewers noticed, all the lads out in Iran watching the telly, that the Roma crest was blurred. That's a fact. Did you hear that?
No, actually.
The Roma crest was blurred. Now the Roma crest...
It's orange.
And it's like talking to a fucking child here, Mara. It's a wolf. And there's two young lads sucking on her tit. That's what the crest is.
Is it?
Yeah. Romulus and Remus. They're boys who founded Rome. Obviously, Romulus got hard done by, or Remus got hard done by there. They named the city after his brother. So, Romulus and Remus were children, and their mother fucked off. And they were adopted by Italian wolves. Now, if that happened in Ireland, you'd probably just end up in Ferry House or somewhere. But to be fair, I reckon I'd rather give my children to a pack of wolves than the Christian Brothers.
Oh, God.
Now, so that has been the crest of Rome for 3,000 years. but the Italians are loose. You know what I mean? They'd be going around in togas now, holding hands and kissing bys and whatever. But it was too much for the Iranians. So they blurred out the tits. But like, if you can't show the tits of a cartoon wolf, like, they're never going to show Mylene Fidelma rolling around in the straw, are they? I mean, what harm? What harm is our cartoon tits doing to anyone? I mean, the young lads out in Iran must be so deprived of a bit of skin if they're going to be touching themselves to a cartoon wolf. So I'm appealing to Iran. They have the Vice and Vision organisation. Bring back the tit. Do not end up like Channel 4.
I'm sure the people of Iran will definitely listen to you and all.
Big listenership in Iran. I have. They like me. I'm a man's man. Yeah. So I suppose, I can't go without mentioning the fodder crisis.
Oh, yes.
So a lot of the farmers are stuck, and myself included now. Mm. I've had to start using copies of the Midland Tribune for bedding. Okay, so my big local story this week is it's actually a very sad story, and I'm nearly ashamed to bring it up now, but my own one, Carmel, is gone vegetarian.
Oh, my God, Noel.
I know.
Groundbreaking.
I thought this was just a phase, you know, like she's, you know, like yoga or women having the vote. But no, she comes home from the ICA with these fucking notions, and I tell you, her father would disown her, only for he's gone completely senile inside a nursing home. And like, she'd gone vegetarian, and I have 25 sucklers out in the shed, and like, I'm not playing fetch with him. They're going to get it. So she came in. I came in home during the week, and she threw up on the table a vegetarian chickpea curry. Well, as soon as she turned her back, I fucked it out to the dog. She had this asparagus and sweet potato frittata.
Jenny, no, that's fancy.
Now, I like spuds. I'd ate 10 spuds a day. No matter. But I had to, would you believe this? I had to sneak into the Shamrock Lounge for a bacon and cabbage.
Noel.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
I went in and I said, Margaret, throw me out a bacon and cabbage and keep your fucking mouth shut. Now, this all happened because she started watching, she got this Netflix. Do you know this?
Yeah, the internet.
Netflix. Yeah. I thought it was some sort of cereal. Like Weetabix. Netflix, yeah. I thought it was a chocolate bar. And she's seen a documentary on KFC and how they prepare the food and what they do to the chooks. Very cruel on the chooks. And that turned her off. Eating meat.
Shit.
Yeah, because she was looking at that fella, Colonel Sanders. Do you know him?
Yeah.
The man who came up with KFC. And what I found out about Colonel Sanders, he actually shot Tupac. Bang bang.
You heard it here first. Colonel Sanders shot Tupac. You're not well, mate. You're not well.
He's only a bollocks. Like Colonel Sanders, he's only a bollocks.
Yeah.
Tupac was keeping it real. Colonel Sanders couldn't handle the truth. So I didn't know about Netflix now. I only watched the Sunday game. So, but I have faith. There's something coming up, and I reckon it's going to change Carmel back. The ICA are doing the catering for the local leg of the ploughing. Now there's no way, like, if she can make 500 roast beef sandwiches and not eat one of them, I'm a fucking Dutchman. Okay? I reckon there'll be no problem. I'll be back eating hairy bacon in a week.
You'll have her back?
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
So that's the gist of it this week, lads.
Thank you, Noel. Yeah. That was absolutely fascinating.
People were writing me letters in the post asking about Conal.
Carney's dog, Conal. That's
right. I met Carney during the week in the co-op. He was buying calf nuts. And I was asking about Conal. He said he's getting on well. Although he's not happy. He's not happy in one way. Carney's got a new cat called Martin.
Stop.
So Conal is small, you know. He's a small dog. Can't get up in the big bitches. Small dog. And the cat, Martin, is small as well. So they got into a bit of a row. And the cat now have claws, you know. But Conal have the big rod. And he have the power. So he pinned down Martin. Carney City came in and Conal was trying to ride Martin. He He said, if that dog don't get a fucking ride soon, he's going round the place. Corner, his balls now, they're like a bag of wet slitters. If that dog don't get a pump soon, then they're going to be fucking hell to pay. There's not a rabbit left in Kilmyler.
Noel, thank you. So I feel sick.
Well, I'm glad that I can come and put a bit of culture into your podcast.
Thank you, Noel. Thank
and
you.
The amount of people saying you've had poor girl ruined.
Mara, poor Mara.
You've had fucking Mara ruined, which are smart.
Thank you, Noel. Thank you. Okay, Mara, if you can pull together the will to live from Noel's news, will you serve us up our mystery topic? Obviously, we don't know anything about this or what you're going to reveal, so throw it at us. We'll do our best to deal with it.
Okay, so this is a dilemma for you lads, right?
Ooh.
Right. I had the pleasure of meeting Joe Brawley. I had him as a guest on the Late Late Show last Friday night. Just fucking class guy. Just really cool, like. And we're chatting about loads of different things, like, because obviously we talked to, you know, your guests before and prep them with questions, but just like, and he's talked about it before, about the fact that he gave a kidney to somebody, Shane Finnegan, who was relatively a stranger, 2012, just said, hey, you need a kidney, I don't really know you that well, we train down at their kids to train together underage. He's like, yeah, I'll give you a kidney. So I'm wondering, smacks your face. Well, I tell you, so I'm wondering, A, would you give a kidney to each other? And like, you know, you can live a perfectly healthy life without, you like, you only need one kidney to function. You can live a perfectly, it won't affect your life expectancy or anything like that. Yeah. It's a big enough operation. Like, it's a bigger, it's a much bigger operation on the donor than it is on the recipient. Like, you'd be in hospital for maybe a week or whatever, but I think the recipient, if it takes well, they could be up and around 2 or 3 days later. Like, so I'm wondering, would you give a kidney to each other, and would you give a kidney to a stranger? I, like, personally, I'd give a kidney to my family, my immediate, like my brothers or my sister, but after that I'd be like, sorry, no.
It's Max, yeah. Well, you know what I mean, if it's a quick way of losing weight.
I'm up for it. I'll give Johnny my leg. Would I give Johnny a kidney? Yes, I would, if he needed it, yeah.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
Like, well, you just have to say we don't need it.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can streamline myself a bit.
But like, I don't need kebabs either, but I mean, I like them. But no, I would give, as you said, a member of my family a kidney, or Johnny, like, or someone really close to me if they were sick, I would. And I actually have a strong opinion on like, you know, when you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to donate all my organs.
Yeah.
I'd say my lungs are decent enough. I can hold some sort of a tune.
Your liver is fucked, though.
And yeah. There'd be no use for that. I'm going to donate that to medical science.
They're just going to put that in a glass box behind the counter on Ryan's.
Peter Abroad and Ryan's just going to have my liver preserved on the counter. Yeah, I would give Johnny, and I would give one of my families. And but on the organ donor thing, I think that should be mandatory.
Yeah, I do have a friend that said she would give all of her kidneys, but she wouldn't give her eyes. You can donate your cornea or something like that, but she said she wouldn't do that. She'd find it weird, her eyes being in somebody else. But then I was going, but you're like, that'd be cool.
You'd get good money for my eyes. Although with the infection I had last week, I don't fucking think so.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I have a donor card. I don't carry it on me anymore because I don't carry a wallet, but I'm signed up all right.
Yeah, same. I have it on my license. It's it says to donate.
Can you get it on your license?
Yeah.
That's handy. Mm. So sign up, lads.
Yeah, well, like, the thing is, like, the number of living organ donations is increasing all the time, like, and it's a massive thing, like, you know, for somebody that would have to spend, like, you have to spend 3 days a week on dialysis, 8 hours a day, like, it's an awful...
For the rest of your life?
Yeah, if you like up until...
Oh,
like,
hold on a second.
No. There's somebody who needs a kidney. Then,
oh,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right,
no,
right.
No. Like, your face
like, no
is like...
No way. Good luck, Johnny. Good knowing you.
On, Johnny.
But like, so it doesn't actually affect you if you give away a kidney?
I, like, well, for me...
Yeah, hold on. What's that second kidney doing, like... Just standing in the corner,
well, according
saying to
your
kidney,
Joe,
go on, you're flying. You're going well. You stay
according
going.
To Joe, what he told me is that you don't need your second kidney, that it's just one's there in case you need a backup one. Because I do have one friend that just has one kidney. They're just born with one kidney and they're perfectly fine. So.
Like the appendix.
Yeah.
A lot of shite. Does nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know?
The appendix is there from when we used to eat grass.
Yeah.
Thousands of years ago, lads going around eating grass.
It's only people in Cavan who eat grass.
Yeah, they still need their appendix. So.
Leave Cavan alone. My mother's from Cavan. So.
I'm joking. It's
well, that explains a lot.
But no, I'm going to say, yeah, like, do you give blood, actually?
Do you know, I never have, because every time they used to come round in Foss, you know, right, lads, give blood. I'd say, like, I was always hungover.
Same, I actually don't, but I will. I'm going to start. That's
yeah, I've given blood, I think, 13 times. So.
Whoa!
Yeah, so. Wow.
Would you be shook after it?
No.
Do they still give you a bottle of Guinness?
Well, no, they stopped doing that. They stopped doing that maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. But like,
oh, they used to give you a bottle of Guinness?
Yeah.
Christ, I'd be in there every day. I'd drain myself dry.
But they give you like, they have custard creams and crisps and mineral soda. I'm just like, you can eat that. Bad food, like you feel like, oh, I'm after doing a good deed here, I'm going to treat myself. Like,
so. Have you a number for the blood, lads?
It's actually good for you, isn't it, to give blood every now and then?
Yeah, well, like, for I think
good for the soul,
it's
anyway.
Handy for women, though, as well, because, like, quite it's a good way of keep making sure your iron is above a certain level. Because when I lived in America, I didn't eat meat. And then I just didn't eat meat over there because they give red meat because they give hormones to their cattle and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm not eating that crap. And I came back and like I
hanging for a steak.
Yeah, but like no, I came back home.
Came back and ate a cow in Dublin
and
airport.
I went to play Gaelic football and my first match, like the girl I was marking, I played for, she scored a hat trick against me and I got taken off at half time. Like, and then I was like, geez, why am I so bad? And then I went to give blood like 2 days later and they were like, yeah, your blood iron's really low. You need to go to a doctor. So like, it was like onto the iron supplements, but once like after 4 or 5 steaks, I was grand. Like, it's back up to normal. Back, so, yeah.
Back living on four 10-ounce fillets.
Yeah,
living on a farm.
Yeah,
but sure, it's giving blood a bit like changing the aisle.
Changing the aisle
in a car, like.
Oh yeah,
you give out a bit of bad blood, and your heart makes more new blood.
I never thought of it like that, yeah. But it is. I think it's nice to be altruistic, like, you know.
Medical Science by Johnny B. As Mara was saying, would you give a kidney to a stranger?
If they were stuck, I suppose I would, yeah. Yeah, like that.
You'd have to like them, though. That's the only thing.
That second kidney seems to be like a spare tire.
I'm not one for sob stories. No.
Would it have a big.
Don't.
Would you have a big cool scar?
Yeah, it'd be like. It'd be kind of coming up over your hip like that, over your hip bone.
That'd be alright.
Maura, I'm just, from what you're pointing, that looks like a pretty big scar.
Yeah.
I'm rethinking this.
Yeah.
My mother will be grand.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, sure, look, she had a good one. She had a good spell. Given a, I don't know what I give on to a stranger. I sound shallow, don't I?
No, you don't. No, I think it's perfect. I'm the same as you. I don't think.
I'm being honest.
But like, the thing as well, like, because I have, like, I want to keep my spare kidney for my family, you know, in case they need it. Like,
I keep it on ice. It's like the good cutlery, you know, you only bring it out at Christmas. Yeah. You just want to be holding on.
But could you imagine, like, your sister coming up and you say, oh, Maura, I need a kidney. And then you're like, sorry, I gave it away to somebody down in Kerry a couple of years ago. Sorry about that. You know?
So you're telling me you give it to a stranger.
Like, yeah, but how is that scenario going to come around?
Just go on now, give it away.
Well, I'm busy today. I'm going to the tip match after this. Can I do it tomorrow after I edit the podcast?
Grant. After the podcast goes up tomorrow, off with you now.
If anybody out there needs a kidney, contact Johnny B. Tipman.
Other organs are available. Using hashtag the two Johnny's pod, we'll sell your organs, lads.
Ah, they're going to frame your Mickey when you're done with it. Who are you going to leave it to?
I have a left leg going, lads. But yeah, Mar, does that answer your question?
That does.
I would give it to my family and not to a stranger, and you would. Christ, you'd give it to anyone, lad.
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, that
was. I haven't the time, like. You talk a week's recovery. I haven't got the time, Mar.
It takes you, like. No, that's just in hospital. There is, like, a longer recovery. But, like, it is possible to do. Like, you can live a healthy life having given away your kidney.
Okay, maybe out of GAA season. Sounds optional, like. I'm not getting it done in June. Like, and then
definitely not, and not at the weekend either.
Yeah. If I can do it like on a Monday and be ready for Friday night, maybe.
There you go. That was Mara's mystery topic.
Thanks, Mara.
Great stuff. Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends, lads, about the Two Johnnies podcast and subscribe to it, will you? Christ. And leave us a review. 5 stars. Don't leave that unless, or we will find you. And we will kill you.
We'll troll you.
We'll troll you online.
Sporting heroes.
Yes.
this came about. We're going to work up to our main, the main crux of our point. But we got talking about sporting heroes and role models this week. So we're going to start just me and Johnny Smacks growing up. Who were our sporting heroes and why? Well, who's going first?
I'll go first if you want.
Go on, so John Boy.
As a young lad out in the backyard, breaking windows, poking ball again wall, I would have said John Carroll. You see, I'm from Ross Cray. So John was like the local hero. And I always looked up to him. And he was big, big unit, like myself. And he was class. But like, it was amazing to have like a proper, an actual lad from the town. There's been nobody really since from Ross Cray who's went on and hurled with Tip.
Sleeping Giants, lad.
Sleeping Giants in North Tip. But John was a massive idol for me as a young lad. And like, I'd be good friends with his brother Joe. We played football together in hurling, and we grew up together. But John was probably my first sporting hero. And there's a great, he done an interview with the Irish Independent. I remember reading it, and the opening of the interview was just, as he opened the front doors of the Racket Hall Hotel, he shook sawdust from his head, went towards the Carvery and said, "Throw in an extra scoop, it's championship." So that man's a hero for that alone. Johnny, who's...
We used to chant, "Davy Fitz, 5'2", John Carroll's after you." So for me, it was the son of God, Owen Kelly. So when I was very, very young, you're probably looking up to like Robbie Fowler and soccer players. But that's completely pointless. Like, you don't know them lads. They kick balls, but like... Anyway, I wouldn't be fond of the old soccer too much. So Owen Kelly, when I got a bit older then, number of reasons. He was class when Tip weren't great. Yeah. So they went from 2001 until 2010 without winning in All-Ireland. But Kelly was consistently class. He was a bit flamboyant, over the shoulder, hitting lads. He wasn't just...
Remind you of anyone?
John Carroll, yeah. Yeah. He's like you at Junior B, yeah. No, he was, and very importantly for me, he was from South Tipperary, where I'm from, where we are now, Maura. Mm. And in 2010, Owen Kelly was the first ever man from South Tipperary to captain Tip to win in All-Ireland.
Wow.
So whenever I used to meet him, I'd be always shouting, "The South is rising." He hated it, like I was wrecking his head. But we had it, you know, Owen Kelly is the son of God, etc. And that was it. To me, he's probably the best hurler ever. You can look at Henry Shefflin, who's got like 10 All-Irelands, but Kelly is far more entertaining.
Mm.
They asked Mickey Hart, Tyrone manager, "What do you look for in a forward?" And he said, "Unpredictability." And Owen Kelly was the epitome of that.
Mercurial.
Owen Kelly, mercurial and tough, wouldn't let the ball out. So not just the fancy stuff.
Seen him in a row one day, Mullenhawn played Davins inside in Clonmel. He gave an exhibition.
He can mix it.
Oh, he bet a fella from one end line to the other. But yeah, it was a proper row. But like, he was tough and he's good crack.
He's great crack.
He's sound. He's class, yeah. And my mother said, "Well, if you're talking about sporting heroes," mother said she fancied Nicholas English.
Trish did back in the day.
Trish said, oh, she had an awful eye for Nicholas English. Huh? She called him by his full title, not Nicky, Nicholas. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I met him several times as well. He's great crack.
I met him after Tip won the All-Ireland, yeah.
Massive hands. Nicky English, for a man who works in an office, like, he's not even a farmer. He massive hands.
Oh man, Nicky, all the money's counting.
Hey!
Oh man, Nicky, if you're listening to... Right, my next sporting hero, you mentioned it there, Robbie Fowler. So I'm a massive Liverpool fan, and I like... Johnny hasn't great time for the soccer. I love the soccer. I've been to Anfield fucking nearly 20 times, I'd say. And I loved Robbie Fowler. And the first time I ever went to Liverpool was a surprise. My mum and dad brought me over. And we were sitting down in the hotel having our dinner. Who walked in? Robbie Fowler.
Aww.
Walked in with Steve McManaman. Couldn't believe our luck. McManaman was a bit ignorant. Asked him for a photo and he was giving out. Now, he had broken his ankle in the match.
Yeah.
So I might give him a pass on that one. But Fowler was class. And they say never meet your idols, but he was deadly. And my mother was shaking so much, she took the photo and chopped off the top of Robbie Fowler's head. So it's only his eyes down and me.
Oh no.
But
put that online, will you?
Yeah, I will. I'll put that on I'll put that on Instagram, on my Instagram there during the week. But that was class. I loved him. He was local. And he had a bit, like, he was kind of controversial, so he had a bit something different about him. Like, he wasn't just a running bit. Like, the soccer players now are, I think, overpaid, and most of them are tossers, probably. I don't want to paint everyone with that brush, like, they're probably grand. But, like, you know, they don't have the same appeal
and
as
Fowler,
they had in the 90s.
Fowler was from Liverpool.
He was from Liverpool, so he was a local lad, you know. And I think a lot of people can really associate with the fact he was, he was he was a lad. From the wrong side of the tracks.
He was
as well.
A bit rough around the edges, yeah. But you felt he was genuine if you gave an in to your aunt. You felt you were actually getting him, not just a textbook answer.
Yeah, I think now they're just on media training and stuff. They're just like robots. But Robbie Fowler for me, yeah. Massive hero. Loved him.
One of the most used words by sports players in post-game interviewers is actually, obviously. That's the word they all use. Mm. Yeah, obviously, you know, they're a great team. And like, obviously, we're just going to do our best. And
sleepy time.
Sleepy time, lad.
Sleepy time. All good. Yeah, so Robbie Fowler, definitely my second sporting hero. John?
For me, I just can't remember from when I was really young, but Paul O'Connell,
yeah,
beast of man. Mm. I remember him making his cap for Ireland. I was only by, but he went through the pain barrier every week. Monster Ireland Lions, such an iconic figure, and even when he went bald, he just got scarier.
He embraced it.
Yeah, and it's just terrible the way his career ended with an injury. And then, you know, he left Munster and went to France and never even got to play it. Contract was just cancelled. And I kind of wish, like, you know, in hindsight, I wish he had just stayed with Munster.
Forever.
Yeah, but like, when he left Munster, he never togged out again. He was injured. So I wish he had just stayed. But like, absolute hero. There should be a statue to him. I always thought, like, O'Gara and Stringer should have statues. You know, maybe one on either side of the River Lee in Cork. There's Stringer with the ball and O'Gara waiting to receive it.
And like, the rugby ball over the river, levitating.
In the bridge in the middle of the water.
I like it. I like your style.
So yeah, and that wouldn't be massive. Well, I follow Munster and Ireland right now, but Paul O'Connell, beast of man. And I seen a thing on Keith Wood, talented hurler.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played under 16 for Clare.
That's class.
I don't know where it all went wrong then.
He took up the egg ball. My third. I'm kind of dipping back into the childhood.
Yeah.
And like Brendan Cummins, like.
Yeah.
But the thing about Brendan and John Carroll, like, they never wore helmets. You know, I know Brendan did at the end when they had to. But I think that's something actually that the GAA is missing. I think at adult level, you should be allowed to make up your own mind. It's your safety. It's your body. You should be given a chance. Like, the days are gone at John Milan, Dan Shanahan, all these well-known hurlers.
The Rock. Sean Oak, Donald Oak.
All these lads never wore helmets. And they were known everywhere. Known all around the country. Because, you know, people knew what they looked
they
like.
They were so recognisable.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, you wouldn't know many hurlers.
No, we met the Galway hurling team. And we were kind of looking at them all going, I think that's him. And I think that's him. Mm. And you know the names from watching games and reading match programmes. But where do you see the faces?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's a recognisable thing. Like, I just think, should be able to, like, when I was younger, I played in goals. So this is why I'm coming back to Brendan Cummins. I played outfield, obviously, but up the edges, I used to play in goal. So Brendan was mad. Like, he was class. I would say the best goalkeeper there has ever been.
Oh, the modern game, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely him for me. But I would say bring back the old no helmets. Lads just look scary as well. John Milan battering the back of the legs off himself. Going around the place like some sort of freak.
Go on, boy.
Go on, yeah. So Brendan Cummins for me.
I remember years ago when I was young, for some reason there wasn't a tip match. We were in the pub watching it, very rare occasion. And there was a penalty or something, and the whole place went dead quiet. And then Cummins saved it, and it was all, yeah! And we're in Care, and Cummins' club was only out the road, like. Yeah. So there was a big cheer of, yeah, bye, Brendan. And as soon as it went quiet, you could just hear someone down in the back going, Bally Bacon prick.
Brendan, if you're listening, we love you. And that goal I scored on him was probably one of the greatest goals I've ever scored. I played against him like 6-7 times.
Yeah.
And I'd never scored a goal. Like, and I was saying to Johnny, like, oh. And then they were hammering us by around 20 points. And the ball bounced. Brendan ran out to him. And I just got there before him, flicked it over his head into the net. Nice. Oh, sweet. We're losing by 20 points, but I was bubbling inside. I was delighted with myself. So yeah, Cummins for me, Johnny.
And just on Cummins, he told us that when the rules came in 2010, that you had to wear a helmet. Brendan is probably he's coming up again 30 at this age, and he'd never worn a helmet in goal, playing in county all his life. And he's a rep on the road. He wore the helmet driving the car all day. 8 hours a day wearing the helmet to get used to it.
God. Yeah. Unreal.
And he trains on his own a lot out and runs the laps of the field because they live near the field where he lives. And he'd wear the helmet just to get used to it.
Jesus.
And he's sound.
And he's dead sound.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, that the reason he has such a long puck of the ball, they had a little house when they were young and a little low wall at the back of the house. And his dad used to soak the slithers in water. They'd be heavy as a rock. And so Brendan could only stand about 5 yards back from the wall and just letter the ball hard as he could all day. And that's why he's, 10-time long puck champion in Ireland?
Magical man. Johnny, who's your next sporting hero?
our good friend DNR.
On Davy Russell, by
Davy Russell, the jockey. The man has won everything there is to win, and as he gets older, he's getting better, he's getting more professional. And we've met Davy and we've gone out with him loads of times. He's great crack, and he doesn't drink at all. Not a drop. Ultimate professional.
It's classy. Drives. He brings
us around.
He lives. It's ideal. He's got a lovely car as well.
He's the best crack, and he loves what he does, and he's mad into it.
Loves it.
And he's
very passionate.
So passionate about it. I rang him one night about 10 o'clock at night, and I was like, "What are you up to?" And he's like, "I got a bit of a knock today, so I'm out walking around in the ocean to rehab the leg."
Yeah.
Totally dedicated. But
and he back on the saddle in the next day as well, like.
Yeah. And he's mad into it. They have horses at home, and he's doing a bit of coaching and a bit of farming and all. He's an all round good guy. And I love him for it.
And like, you know, on horses, and we know a good few of the jockeys, like, I don't think they get enough credit. Like, it is fair dangerous.
I think jockeys are the most mad bastards you
yes
would
they yeah are mental. Yeah. And like the injuries they get and the hard work that goes into it, even maintaining weight, like Christ almighty.
Oh, the hardship. Sometimes they'd be slapping us from the sauna and they'd just be absolute depression in their eyes, trying to lose weight.
Yeah, but I think credit to them, and Davey is definitely, he's one of the best, boy. And he's class.
And he's class.
And he gave us tickets to Punchestown. Almost thank you for that, DNR, for listening. Okay, my next sporting hero, Colin Corkery.
From Cork?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go for two in this, right? Because Colin Corkery from Cork.
The footballer.
And Kieran MacDonald from Mayo.
Ah, legend.
So it was that era. And like, obviously Ross Gray, they should play football more, but they don't. It'd be predominantly hurling down there. But I loved football for some strange reason. And I played it before I even played hurling. And I loved it. But in that era, you had Corkery for Cork, who was, again, a big unit. But lads, he'd kick a score. If he was on top of the Hogan stand, he'd kick it over the bar. And MacDonald was the first man, really. He's the only man I know to have corn rolls and play the GAA. And he had white boots, long socks, and a jersey untucked. He was something different. He was the first.
And bleached blonde hair.
You know, I think Kieran used to play number 11.
He did.
And that's why Aidan O'Shea's Twitter handle is AidoXI11. Because he's like, you have a mutual, Kieran was Aidan's
hero.
Yeah, as well.
Mutual love. Yeah. There you go. So MacDonald and Corkery for me. Corkery was class. I remember getting asked before a Munster final, we did fill out a player profile. And got asked who my sporting hero was.
When this is when you were playing County Minor.
Yeah, didn't want to mention it, but now that you say it. But I put down Colin Corkery, yeah. And it was gas all the way. He was putting down tip lads. I was like, no. Dickie Brown's class, but like Colin Corkery for me.
My last one then, Sonia O'Sullivan. One of the greats. Went through so much hardship in her career. Unlucky so many times. And she kept bouncing back. And that's it all around. There's a lot of charity work. Really good person. Pure Cork. Love her to bits.
Yeah,
Katie Taylor. You know, it's great to have Katie on the podcast and all. And thank God, it's really.
You can't say she's a hero then take the piss out of her.
But what she's done for women in general, in sport, like she played soccer for Ireland as well.
Yeah,
let's not forget that. And now she's a champion, so a champion boxer and professional. So fair play to Katie. But I must say as well, my last sporting hero or heroes. So when I was a young lad, we lived near the play park in Ross Cray. And my father, Chippy, as he's affectionately known in Ross Cray, him and all his friends used to play soccer down the play park. Grown men, they'd play like 5-on-5 down the park on like a Wednesday or Thursday night. And they were grown men, like. And they were like gods to me, like. I'd sit in the wall and watch them, like. And I was like 9, 10, 11, 12. Then when I was like 12, 13, I was fully grown. And I used to play with them. But like it was, that was like a Champions League final to me, like.
Aww.
Playing with the lads. And I was actually out in Roscrea last night and met them all. And it was some crack. I said I'd give them a shout. They all listened to the podcast. But they were like, to me, you know, they were like the Liverpool team.
Yeah.
Playing with them was just, there was nothing, I'd be talking about it all week. And I'd be waiting. I'd go down to the park at like 5 o'clock during the summer. And I'd be sitting there waiting for them to come, like. And I used to like, just wait and wait until if there were one short, then they'd ask me. And I'd be, yes. So yeah,
you'd be ringing one of them and telling him it was cancelled.
Yeah, so Piggy, Hammy, Tony Douglas, Noli, all the lads. Yeah, you think I'm making up them names? But
Mick the Crowbar.
To all the boys, they were definitely, and they used to have a 9-a-side tournament in Ross Cray,
And there's a picture on my Instagram. You'll see me. I was the mascot. I have a Roma jersey
on.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So all those lads, they had a nine-a-side team. And they won the tournament. Lads, I thought they were after winning the Premier League. And I went out and all that night with them. And I was around 12. They just bought me Luke's head and just carried me around all night.
Mascot.
Yeah, them boys, they're sporting heroes. They're my heroes. Yeah.
So yeah, I would have had one local man as well. By the name of Liam Kiley. When I was still under 16, ended up training with the intermediate team. And I could hear boys saying, Jesus, a lot of young lads here tonight. Some of them boys are only minor. And I was like, God, I'm only under 16. Huh. And he put the arm around and he's like, you're all right there. Come in with us, lad. Yeah. And mind you. And there you go. R.I.P. Liam died in a tragic accident in Australia. Mm. And we have a tournament in his honour every year.
Oh, lovely.
Which we've won twice.
We've won twice, yeah.
Yeah.
Great night out.
Great, yeah. It's class night. It's a class night out.
And did you know that Katie Taylor actually used to do the voice for Snotzer on the Den? Where'd you get your shades?
I'd love to put ye in the ring with Katie and see how long you last.
I'd do that, but I'd want some padding. I'd want a full bodysuit. Like.
Yeah, the two of us together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I reckon if the two of us together got in the ring with Katie, we'd definitely last 20 seconds.
Yeah. Katie, we're calling you out.
Yeah, if we last more than 30 seconds, you have to do the podcast, Katie.
Okay, so we can't leave sporting heroes without discussing the one name that's on everybody's lips.
Big news this week.
Big news this week. McGregor. Mm-hmm. What do we think? What do you think, John?
So this man, trailblazing, first Irish professional UFC fighter of all time. He's brought the game into the public eye in Ireland. He's got a lot of fans, a lot of hardcore fans, and some bandwagoners who go for the crack. And he's always been out there. He's always said stuff, been controversial, probably drawn influence from Muhammad Ali and Apollo Creed. You know, I pity the
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang. He's the Irish Clubber Lang. So this week, of course, got into a row and he's kind of disgraced himself a little bit, threw a dolly and a big chair and all through the window of a bus. And a fight has been pulled because of his actions, that one of the fighters got glass in him. And Maura, you've fought MMA. Mm-hmm. You know the amount of work that goes in now. You didn't quite make Vegas and the UFC.
I only did it for amateur level and yeah, it was great fun. But yeah, that's like training, making weight, the mental preparation of getting ready for a fight. Like, I'm sure Conor didn't do it deliberately. Like, Conor wants to fight Khabib, okay, right? And Khabib is probably I would love to see the McGregor-Khabib fight. And I actually think that is like a massive, like, if you were to ask me one of my sporting heroes, I would say Conor McGregor. Like, I don't care what he does. Like, really, like, you know, like somebody said on Twitter, it's like, Conor McGregor could do a live stream of him drowning puppies and people would still be a fan of him. And I'm like, probably.
But that's the bigger question then. Like, a sporting hero.
Yeah.
Is a sporting hero, like, do they have to be a good person?
For me, I'll throw in my two cents worth here. I think McGregor, and excuse me now, Manny, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm going to curse. I think he's a prized prick. Quite simply. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit what he does.
Go on.
There's kids who follow him, and they think now it's all right. They think this is cool. Like the big smug head in him in the courtroom. Like, to be honest, I love them. Love what he's done, and he's put Ireland on the map, and nobody can question his commitment to the sport and what he's done for the sport of MMA.
I would question his commitment to the sport.
Slightly.
He hasn't defended his lightweight title.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And he needs to, like, if you were asking me now to put money on who would win in a Khabib Conor fight, I would say Khabib. Khabib has an incredible record and it's a mad Russian whore, so.
Yeah, Conor has never defended his middleweight title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is
lightweight, yeah.
Yeah.
But for me,
for me,
he died to me the day I seen him outside the courtroom in Ireland in a fucking tracksuit.
Oh, he abandoned the car on the steps.
Yeah, that was, I just thought, like, we had this discussion on the podcast, like, it's just very un-Irish, his behaviour, and I just think it's scandalous for kids who follow him to have to look at that, like, and, like, he's not a role model. And plus, he done an ad with Burger King.
Yeah.
That meant, well, he don't need the money.
He did the horse race and one was kind of funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
See that one where the horse stops and he runs and
That was funny. The Burger King was cringe. It was like,
that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I doubt he fucking eats in Burger King somehow or another.
He's probably training hard enough he'd burn it off if he wanted it.
Yeah, but I don't know. So for me, I think his behaviour was scandalous. And it's actually a little anecdote. I know the security guard.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, the security guard. My mum's best friend. That's her husband. And he works for the UFC and he goes around to all walks McGregor into a ring, and he's actually the one trying to jump in front when
Stop
he's throwing, when he's throwing the trolley.
Can I make one point that a lot of people defending Conor said was that, so basically what happened was that Khabib, during the week, Khabib and his entourage had bumped into Artem Lobov, who is Conor's training teammate, and would be Artem and Conor would be very, very good friends. And apparently Khabib had allegedly given Conor or given Artem a few smacks or whatever. So apparently then Conor jumped on a plane, come over to the US and was like, what are you doing to my friend? Throwing stuff at the bus. And that, and like somebody was saying that, like, is it not very noble that you would come over and try to defend your friend? Why, maybe when I'm saying this out loud, I'm like,
I think there's ways and means. If someone was acting the fuck with Johnny, like, or one of my friends, like, you could say it to him, like, I wouldn't go throwing a trolley through the Opel Corsa, like.
Yeah.
But
no, but like, this is the UFC. If you've got a problem with somebody, fight them.
Yeah.
Well, like, the thing that's very true. And like, if you were to ask me who my favorite MMA person is and my person that I would look up to, it's actually kind of a relatively new prominent fighter, Rose Namajunas. She beat this absolute bitch of a Polish one. She is, though. Like, she, like, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I can't pronounce her surname. She would, like, say, she'd be just trash talking and nasty stuff. And the first time she fought Rose, she was going on to Rose about how she was bullied in school and like throwing up stuff from childhood, like trash talking, like that was bad form. And then Rose went in and like, boom, good night. And she actually, I couldn't believe it, Joanna tapped out from taking shots. Like, you know, you only really tap out if like submission, somebody has in your move. So yeah, and she beat her again last night. So I was like, go on, Rose.
That's on. Yeah, but like, there was women on that bus and everything, like, you know what I mean? Now, I know these same women had hammered the head off you. But, like, still. But, like, the thing I'm thinking is, you know, people are saying, oh, he went to defend his friend. If I'm his friend, I'm fairly pissed off. So Charlie Ward fought. People forget he actually won that fight because McGregor jumped into the ring.
Yeah.
And started acting the spastic again.
Yeah.
And then Artem Lobov to the ring, called your man a faggot.
Yeah.
When's it going to end? Like, what's next? Like, what is it going to take?
It could take this, like, if he gets convicted, sure, he might not be able to travel back to the US.
I know a fella who went in a J1 and he broke a streetlight with a slitter, and that man can't get back into the US.
What?
Yeah, because he's got a criminal record.
See, I think it makes a difference if you're worth $100 million.
Well,
so
the big money's in Vegas, Mara.
Yeah.
Big money.
They are big money, John boy.
Big money, John boy.
I'm just going to kind of suspend defending Conor until he fights Khabib, because that's the fight everybody wants to see. And like, through throwing a dolly at his bus, like, it's the fight that's going to sell a massive amount of pay-per-views.
WWE stuff, that's what it is. I reckon McGregor will probably join DX.
Okay, so do you reckon this is a stunt, Mara, or has he actually lost the run of himself?
I would love to think somebody was savvy enough to come up with this as a marketing stunt for the UFC, but Dana White genuinely seemed really annoyed, and like, he was up in court, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'd say McGregor intended
for it to be a stunt, but I think he's actually lost the complete run of himself. I think he's gone insane. He's believed the hype, man.
Yeah, well, it is tough when you got to be surrounded by good people. You can't just be surrounded by yes men and worth that amount of money and baiting the head off professional fighters. Like, you'd be feeling like $1 million. You'd be feeling invincible. But I would worry for his training. If you're surrounded by yes men, then you need somebody
who's going to scare you and hurt you. Like, yeah, actually, like, to be a better fighter, you have to get hurt. Mm-hmm. You just, because
that's our theory at junior training.
The big question I would ask was, why didn't McGregor, there was a slot open.
That's the thing. If he'd waited 24 hours, so Max Holloway, Khabib's opponent, had to be pulled because he was trying to cut weight, like, and dehydrate, like doctors do or whatever, but the doctor's saying, look, what you're attempting is dangerous, you're going to reduce the amount of fluids in your body by too much, so you stop doing it. So he wasn't able, so then somebody else, but like, I don't think McGregor would have actually been able to make weight if he'd waited, like, somebody was saying, if he'd waited 24 hours he could have got the fight.
I have my suspicions as to why he didn't take the fight, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, but it's also unfair, like, very hard to make weight all of a sudden, like.
Yeah. Like, definitely, because, like, what?
We struggle to make weight with like 4 months' notice for hurling championship.
I try and fit into them tight fit jerseys every year, and it's a massive struggle.
Yeah.
Will we reserve judging Conor McGregor so as to a later date and see how he reacts to this?
Can I throw in my childhood?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Mara.
Yes, sorry.
Just my childhood sporting hero, because we didn't mention enough women on it. But no, Jet from Gladiators. Like, she is my my sporting hero.
Any reason why?
Which just, you see her, she's gorgeous looking, but like, she was amazing Gladiator. She was a great, was it Hang Tough and the one with the pugilistic sticks, you know, that she was brilliant. She was an all rounder. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up, a gladiator.
A pugilistic stick.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Thought you'd be more of a Graham Geraghty woman, being from Meath, no?
No, Trevor Giles.
Ah, Trevor, why did he cut the sleeves off his top? He's like a ladies' footballer.
Class act though.
He was class.
The very a thinker's GA player. Graham's lovely as well, but yeah, Trevor Giles would have, his style and mythology would have appealed more to me.
And he had no sleeves. Class.
Sean Boylan.
Oh yeah. Meet nicest man alive.
Legend.
Yeah.
I got him to sign my football when I was a boy.
Oh.
Delighted. Himself and Tommy Dowd.
Tommy Dowd, boy.
Yeah, I was going.
Good man to throw a right hand, Tommy Dowd.
Big man. On Mead. Sporting heroes. So, yeah, but just on quickly to wrap up, do they have to be good people, Johnny?
Yes, they have to be role models for me, like. Now, Fowler.
Like, that's not in their contract saying he has to be a good person.
It's like. Not, but I just think I wouldn't like my kid looking up to McGregor, not to be honest with you. I really wouldn't.
What about lads that are seen out, like, on the lash, getting into trouble and all that? What about soccer players and they're going at each other's wives and all?
That's just
to be a hero, you kind of have to inspire somebody else. Like, the reason that I would say Conor was a hero of mine, because he inspired me to do MMA for 6 months and train really hard at it.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like, so like, he inspired me to live a better life.
Mm.
Okay.
Because it was great training and it was great to be eating healthy and great just discipline, like getting up every morning and going to the gym before work and that. But now you kind of think, oh, lad.
I think there's a line. And once you don't cross it, it's not too bad. I mean, everybody's going to make mistakes. Everyone's going to, you know, like most sporting players, like everybody's probably made their mistakes. You know, when they're younger, they might get in a bit trouble. Like, but I think there's a line, and you don't overstep it. I think McGregor's overstepped it.
That's it. He can't. Well, like, to be a sporting hero, Omar, is different to be like an actual hero.
Mm.
Like, you know, Mo Salah is probably a sporting hero for a lot of kids, and they know nothing about him. Only he sticks the ball in the net for Liverpool.
Mm. Mm. Look up lads to your local GA players.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be saying. Keep it local. Shop local.
Right? Shop local.
Right, that's it for sporting heroes.
Yeah.
You like it?
We'll get deeper on this some other
good
day.
Good topic. We'll definitely touch on McGregor anyway, I'm sure, again. Time of the week where we give our yurts and dirts of the week.
Dirt.
We're going to get some of the voice over dirt. Got someone in mind from Wexford.
Okay, so my yurt of the week this week is a bit of a funny one. I started watching a show on Netflix called Rick and Morty. And if you haven't seen it, it's absolutely mental and hilarious. So if you turn on the first episode and think I'm crazy, that's fine, but stick with it. So it's, long story short, it's basically, it's like Back to the Future. You know, what's the guy's, Marty McFly and the professor. But in this one, like, he's not Marty, he's Morty, and he's got the IQ of a football. And they go off on like time traveling adventures and all together, and they just take the piss out of everybody, and it's completely mental and very funny.
Okay, so I'm going to start with my dirt.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm going to change it up.
Curveball.
My dirt of the week is obviously that song. Not being able to find that, so again, if somebody can get in touch. But it's ruining my life.
One more, Johnny, one more.
Na na na. Na 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 na. Please get in touch with me. I need to find out what the song is. But my other dirt is all the bad stuff that's been associated with the Liverpool fans throwing a few cans at the Man City bus. It obviously worked. Liverpool won 3-0. We're delighted. Now, people are saying, oh, they wrecked the bus, the whole lot. The tip team bus went up through the square in Thurles, and there was a load of Limerick fans firing cans at. You don't hear anyone roaring and bawling about that.
I am very surprised to see Limerick fans wasting cans.
So that's my dirt of the week.
Okay, my dirt of the week is people who have us on Snapchat know my dog, Marley. and he's starting to molt. And there's fucking hair everywhere when he comes into the kitchen, even there.
Shoot him.
I will, Matt.
I'm joking.
Who are you, Noel?
I'm joking.
So I'm going to have to start brushing him or
Get
something.
Get the dog.
Bring him to the dog groomer.
Ah, no, come on.
Wash him, man.
What is this? Queer eye for the straight dog.
I tell you, there's nothing as bad as a hairy dog, lad. A friend of mine used to have a King Charles. Dirty, hairy rodent.
Dirt.
Dirt, absolutely. So that's your dirt of the week, John, is it?
Yep.
My yurt of the week, right? Everybody, get on Instagram right now. Add Danny Dyer. He's got these little video clips of him vicing over like Donald Trump and a couple of other things. And I swear to God, lads, you'll roll around the place laughing. That is my yurt of the week. You'll thank me for it. Get in contact with us. You'll thank me for it.
You did the Harry Potter one. Yeah. Oh, you, wizard bollocks.
Yeah.
I never liked wizards.
Yeah. Honestly, it's absolutely brilliant. Hilarious. And his voice is just, he's just proper gangster boy. Yeah. Slag. But that's it, lads.
More any crack for us this week? No.
Did we do all right?
Crack. You did really well, yeah. Mm. So, but you know, you're right having fruity cocktails last night.
I was drinking creamy cocktails. But I'm good. We got through it. We done well.
Yeah, the shorts are on.
The shorts are on. Back to the shorts. Hey, it's April now. It's summer.
All right, lads. Well, if you haven't subscribed to us, do it. And give us a positive review and tell your friends. So we're going well. We're going good.
So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From producer Maura.
We'll see you next week. We'll be back. Same time, same channel.
Get back.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.